Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we give thanks this morning for the gathering of the saints. We now pray, Holy Father, that thou will bless thy word. As it has been declared, Father, may the word of God take preeminence in this place. May the Holy Spirit move from chest to chest, from heart to heart, that the word of God may be planted in each heart, and men and women will say yes to thy will and yes to thy way. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks. Amen. Though my long-term memory is not that great, but I still remember quite vividly some of the rhymes I used to recite in my formidable years many, many decades ago. And one of those rhymes is the rhyme Umpty Dumpty. I see some of you looking at me kind of strange, right? And this is how it goes. Umpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Umpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Umpty together again. You know, while I don't know the inspiration behind this rhyme, but in reflecting over it, I see a unique parallel with life itself. You know, at times in life, like Umpty Dumpty, we tend to fall off the wall. We fall from our place of comfort due to some mistakes in our life, and we fall in such a way that we're broken. We're broken at times emotionally, we're broken relationally, at times we're broken mentally. And then, like Umpty Dumpty, we look around for help, and nobody's there that could help us. Even our closest friends, we turn to them, and we can't find the necessary help we need. But loved ones, this morning, while at times you don't find help on the horizontal plane, there is always one person who is more than able to help us when we fall. One person was able to help us to clean up our mess, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this truth is captured beautifully in a narrative that is nestled in the book of Genesis, in the story of Abraham, Sarah, and Agar. And in this story, we'll be able to understand that when we hand our mess into the hands of God, He can turn it into a message. And this is what's going to bring me to Genesis chapter 21. Now, let me set this in context so you can understand how we arrive over here. You know, Abraham was the poster child of faith. We know that. Genesis chapter 12, we read that God called Abraham to leave his father and his mother and to follow him to a place that he would show Abraham. And without hesitation, we're told that Abraham followed God and they came to the land of Canaan. Though he faced many challenges in Canaan, God was with him and he was blessed greatly, materially. But in the midst of all his material blessing, we know that Abraham had a nagging problem. And the problem was a problem of generational continuity. His wife, Sarah, was barren. And this problem was further compounded because Abraham was old and Sarah herself was old. And now, as a solution, we come to Genesis chapter 15. Abraham proposed to God that his faithful servant, Eliezer of Damascus, should be his heir. But God rejected that proposal, and God told him, "This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body shall be your heir." And God made a promise to Abraham that his descendants will be as many as the stars of heaven. Now we come to chapter 16 of the book of Genesis. Here, with the promise given, we read Sarah, obviously told of this promise by God, informed Abraham that I have a plan. And what was the plan? the plan was the plan of surrogacy. She proposed that Abraham would copulate with a maid, Agai, so that when she conceived and bear a child, the child can then be the child of promise. It looked good, sounded good to Sarah, sounded good to Abraham. And Abraham went along with his wife's plan. And then Agai conceived. And we're told that she bore a son, whom they named Ishmael. But you know, loved ones, what was meant to be a solution became a huge problem in the house, which ended up destabilizing the house of Abraham. And Sarah now goes to Abraham and said, Abraham, this is your fault. And we're told here that Agai fled. But the Lord met Agai and told her to return and submit to her mistress. Then we come to Genesis chapter 18. Here we're told that Abraham was sitting at the oak of Mamre when three men approached his tent. Two of them were angels, and one of them was Adonai. And we're told that Abraham invited this man in, and while they were having presumably lunch, they told Abraham, one of them, who was God, told Abraham that surely I will return to you at this time next year, and behold, your wife, Sarah, will have a son. Now, though both of them were past childbearing age, they considered what God had said as a joke. We read that Sarah laughed because Sarah, being around 88 years old, and Abraham at that time being around 99 years old, thought it was a joke that she would get pregnant. And God would say to Abraham, he said, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? He said, at the appointed time, I will return to you. And at this time next year, Sarah will have a son. This is how we arrived at Genesis chapter 21. So we begin here in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 21, that God took note of Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Now, this is interesting because at the age of 89 years old, an age which according to medical science, it is next to impossible for a woman to naturally conceive a child, Sarah conceived. God's promise to Abraham and Sarah had come to fruition. Though Sarah laughed when God gave her this promise, but I believe now she wasn't laughing anymore because she realized one thing that many of us fail to realize, that what is impossible to man is never impossible to God. You know, we all need to understand that God's power transcends every human limitations. As such, our impossibility is no issue to God. That is why when we face insurmountable problems in life, we don't acquiesce to discouragement. We don't acquiesce to hopelessness, but rather we trust in the Lord because we understand that with God, nothing is impossible. God can move mountains. God can supernaturally work your situation out in such a way that everyone will know that that's the end of God. And here, God was able to let Sarah and Abraham know that with God, nothing is impossible. By the way, one truth that all of us can take comfort in is this. You know, God is also a promise keeper. I want you to watch that. You know, unlike we humans who are quick to renege on our promises, God never reneges on his promise. He promised that by this time next year, you will conceive. And that promise came to fruition. You know, loved ones, no matter how belligerent or how unfaithful we get, though God might discipline us, he never reneges on his promise. He always keeps his word. And I believe perhaps the Apostle Paul was reflecting on this verse When he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, he said, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. No matter how faithless we become, God remains ever faithful. God will always keep his promise because God is a promise keeper. So we come to verse 2. And verse 2, we read that Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham at his old age, at the appointed time of which the Lord has spoken to him. Now, you know, I don't know about you, but I got this analytical mind. And I began to ask myself one unique question when I came to this verse. I said, why didn't God do this earlier? Why didn't God open a womb when she was around 22 years old or 40 years old? That would have made it much, much easier. You know, she would have avoided this baby mama drama with Agar, don't you think? Then I said, why wait this long? Well, you know, I know one thing. You know, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Neither are his ways our ways. Isaiah chapter 57 verse 8 reminds us of that. However, I've also discovered that there are two key things we need to understand about the nature of God that can explain why this timing. The first thing is this. You know, in God's economy, there is always an appointed time for everything under heaven. There is always an appointed time for everything. I want you to understand this under heaven. We find that in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. You know, and it's only when that fullness of time comes that God will make all things beautiful. In essence, in God's economy, there is an appointed time for everything to happen. And it wouldn't happen earlier than that. It will only happen when God said this is the time. Because God is a God, though he is transcendent and he transcends time, yet time is the way that God has orchestrated to use among his creation. That is why it is important that we as humans must learn how to wait on the timing of God. Because if we don't wait for God's timing, we tend to mess things up. And I don't have to be a prophet this morning to know that the reason some of you are struggling today is because you chose not to wait for God's timing. You chose not to wait as God calls you to wait. You chose not to be patient and wait for God. And loved ones, this morning, remember this. In God's economy, there is a time for everything under heaven. And it's only when the fullness of time comes that God will make manifest what he needs to do in your life. The second reason for this timing in Sarah's life is this. Is because the glory of God shines the brightest in impossible situations. Again, loved ones, I want you to watch this. You know, it is through the impossible situation of Sarah, the conception at the age of 89, that we see the grandeur, the greatness of God's glory. And loved ones, this is what I believe. God wants to reveal his unique glory so that we can see, and the glory of God is much illumined. An impossible situation. And we can see that clearly in John chapter 11, in the story of Lazarus, that the Lord Jesus had to wait because Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And after 4 days in the tomb, Jesus showed up. The reason Jesus showed up is so that men will see the glory of God. And I tend to you, loved ones, at times God will allow things to become impossible in your situation. He will allow things to become totally unable to do it. Then he will show up. Then everyone will know that it wasn't by might nor by strength, but by the power of the living God. And loved ones, this morning, if you're in an impossible situation, God might be setting you up for his glory to be made manifest in your situation. Trust in the Lord, because his glory will shine in that impossible situation you're facing. So we read here in verse 3 of chapter 21 of Genesis that Abram called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And we're told that Abram circumcised Isaac on the eighth day. And Abram, obviously, you know, when the Lord told Sarah about this birth, impending birth of this child, Sarah laughed. So Sarah now says here in verse 4, it said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. So the meaning of the name of Isaac is laughter. In essence, every time people now think of Sarah, it's laughter. Isaac, it is laughter. The laughter will now be part of the legacy. And you can see how this works, right? Think about your 89-year-old grandmother all of a sudden getting pregnant. You'll be like, whoa, 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 grandma, what have you been doing? You know, that will cause you to kind of chuckle, right? You'll chuckle a little bit because here is 89-year-old grandmother getting pregnant. But that is the key here, that Isaac's name now means God laughs. Now, we know that this birth of Isaac is worth celebrating, which Abraham himself did. And Abraham celebrated when this boy was weaned. However, there was still a problem because in the same house was Ishmael, the son of Agai. And who by this time, when Isaac was born, he was around 13 years old. So there was probably a 13 to 14 year gap between Isaac and Ishmael. Now, I want you to understand this. Two women connected to one man is a huge problem. That is why polygamy is a very terrible thing. It's a huge problem. And that itself is going to be compounded by their children. Because their children now living under the same roof in that polygamous situation will become a recipe for disaster. And this is exactly what's taking place in the home of Abraham. Because the relationship would not only be very difficult between Agar and Sarah, but the relationship between Ishmael and Isaac will be very, very difficult. We are going to see here the onset of sibling rivalry. So this is what brings us to verse 9, because in verse 9, we now read that Sarah saw the son of Agai, the Egyptian, whom she had bore to Abraham mocking. Now, I want you to pause right here. What we're being told here is that Ishmael was mocking Isaac. Ishmael was probably bullying Isaac. You got to understand there's a 14-year difference between them. So, you know, in that complex situation where there are two mothers and two young men, you know, Ishmael might be kind of feeling left out because when this young Isaac comes into the picture, he becomes the golden child, right? Because he's the child of promise. All the attention is towards Isaac, and Ishmael kind of fell out. So Ishmael could be, you know, angry and using that to mock or to kind of bully Isaac. And by the way, Christians, let me make this understandable to you. You know, no matter how challenging your upbringing might be, you must never, ever consider your siblings as enemies. You know, this problem of sibling rivalry is very common in many homes. You know, in many homes, you know, you got brothers and sisters raised together that can't stand one another. And as a pastor, every time I come to what I call the rite of passage is whether funerals or marriage or weddings or whether graduations and families come together, the sibling rivalry become compounded. You see, you know, history of anger coming out at that situation. As a Christian, you got to understand this. You need to understand this clearly. Your siblings are not your enemy. Oh, yes, at times it might be difficult, but the Bible said, as much as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men, including your siblings. And again, if they reject your peace, you need to now devote yourself to prayer. Make them your prayer project. Perhaps it is through your prayers that God has ordained to bring them to himself. And loved ones, this morning, if you have a sibling that you are at odd with, God wants you to repair that relationship because God placed you in the same family for a reason. And you must not make your sibling your enemy. So now we see here that Sarah observed this situation. Now, for every mother that sees their child being mocked by another child or being bullied by another child, you know, that maternal instinct kicks in. And that instinct is always to protect their own. And that is why it's not surprising here that Sarah approached Abraham. And he said to him, he said, I want you to drive out this maid and her son. For the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son. I want you to watch this. Sarah said to Abraham, Abraham, listen, I want you to do something. I want you to drive out this woman, Hagar, and her son. Because they cannot be together under the same roof with me because your son is that heir. You know, Sarah is so interesting to me here. She created this mess. You remember that Genesis chapter 16? She was the one that improvised this idea, right? She thought that idea was perfect when she came up with it. She thought, you know what, this was a slam dunk idea. But now, many, many years removed from that event, she sees the terrible mistake she made. Loved ones, I tender to you this morning that, you know, over time, our perspective change. You know, I want you to understand this. Over time, your perspective about things change. That is why I truly believe in making life-changing decisions, you must be in prayer. Listen to me. You must seek the face of God. You want to get married? Go before God. Don't let your emotions dictate how you need to get into this situation. Don't let your emotion dictate it. Why? Because perspective change over time. And I can tender to you this morning, some of you, the way you felt about a situation 10 years ago is not the way you feel today. That is why you go before God. And if God tells you no, you don't do it. You are never wise enough. You don't know it all. God does. And Sarah, when she thought she had a brilliant idea many years earlier, now she's coming back and she's seeing how messed up that idea was. And loved ones, you might be sitting here this morning and you are regretting the decision you made 10 years ago, the decision you made 20 years ago, because you look back now and said, how did I do it? That's why it's important for each one of us to learn this lesson, that no matter how appealing things look today, remember, take it to the Lord in prayer and wait for him to speak to you before you act. Because at times you take that wrong step. Years later, you might regret the step you take. Now, this request definitely had broken Abraham because we read here that Abraham was distressed. He was greatly, I want you to watch that, he was greatly distressed for his son. And who wouldn't be distressed for his son? You know, no matter how you look at this, whether the son came through Hagar or Sarah, that's still his first son. And a father is always connected to their son. And he felt this heavy weight in his spirit. He felt this weight. Now, Abraham could have done like Job did. You remember what Job did? When Job, the wife came to Job and said, curse God and die. And Job said to her, you speak like one of those foolish women. Abraham could have said to Sarah, Sarah, you speak like one of those foolish women. But Abraham didn't do that. Rather, I believe Abraham took it to the Lord in prayer. This is where I'm going this morning. Abraham took this messed up situation and took it to the Lord in prayer. He went before the Lord. And loved ones, this is what I'm going to share with you this morning. You know, at times you face a situation that everything like Humpty Dumpty is so broken. You know, you can't fix it. There's no way for you to fix it. And it drives you down. You must remember, you are stronger on your knees than on your feet. You must remember the power of your strength is seeking God in prayer. You must take it to the Lord in prayer, because only the Lord has the answer to your problems. So we hear here that Abraham presumably took it to the Lord, and God now came to Abraham and spoke to him. Watch verse 12. He said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her, for through Isaac your descendants shall be named." Whoa, wait a minute. The Bible does not say this, but I suspect here that Abraham might have been shocked at what God said. Hey, again, I want you to know, I'm just using my creative license here. You know, the wife said, "Throw them out." And God concurred with Sarah. I said, "Throw them out." Abraham must have scratched his head and said, "You know what? Listen, this is difficult." But that's what the Lord told him. And again, I want you to understand this. You know, you might say, whoa, wait a minute. That's not compassion. Why God didn't just tell them, just figure it out and live together? Well, I tell you what. There is a reason. There is a unique reason why God concurred with Sarah. Throw this baby out. And throw this boy out and his mother. And the reason for this is because Abraham, the issue that is going here, there's a message. And the message is actually what we call a typology. It's a typology that actually transcends Abraham. It's a typology between the Old Testament and New Testament, between the dispensation of the law and dispensation of grace. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Galatia, in Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 21, will now bring forth this unique typology. What was the typology? Listen to what Paul will write. Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 21. He says to this church, he said, "Tell me you will want to be under the law. Do you not listen to what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one of the bond woman and one by the free woman. But the son of the bond woman was born according to the flesh, but the son by the free woman through promise." This is allegorically speaking. For these two women are two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Now, this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are in northern labor. For more numerous are the children of the desolate than the one who has an husband. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. For as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted, he who was born according to the spirit, so it is also now. But what does scripture say? Cast out the born woman and her son, for the son of the born woman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, you are not children of the born woman, but children of the free woman." Loved ones, you get the picture here. You see what the picture is saying to us. The reason God said, "Let her go," was because this ultimately would be the typology between the grace that we have today in Christ Jesus, because we, like Isaac, through Christ Jesus are children of promise, because we have come to know Jesus by faith, not by the letter of the law, but by faith. And loved ones, this morning, this is meant to be a foreshadowing. And that is why there is a message in this for you and I, that this is a message that God is trying to communicate, that listen, this Isaac will be the promised child. And today is true of the church of Jesus Christ, that we are those that are born out of promise, for by faith and the just shall live by faith. This morning, loved ones, I'm saying to you that Christ is that one that is the promise. And loved ones, this morning, it is important for us to understand that at times God will say, do something. And whatever God tells us to do, no matter how humanly pathetic it might look, or we might feel uncomfortable about it, we must do it to the glory of God. Because God has a message in our mess. Because God wants to bring out that message for the world to see. And loved ones, this morning, do you get this? God is able to put together what has been broken. Loved ones, listen to the words of our God. May God this morning bless the declaration of his word. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning, we are grateful. We're grateful for this beautiful narrative that reminds us of the grandeur of God's glory. Father, may thou now bless thy word, that every ear that hears, they will say yes to thy will and yes to thy way. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.